Hello, respected viewers. It's George from Ireland, so welcome back to my channel. And in this channel, I'm talking about the hyper-aggression of Putin's fascist regime since they began the unprovoked war of illegal aggression against Ukraine. In breach of numerous international treaties, for example, the Kellogg-Briand Pact, or the Pact of Paris, as it's called, obviously, the treaty they signed with Ukraine in 1994, the treaty they signed with Ukraine in 2003, in which they explicitly recognized Ukraine's borders, including recognizing Crimea as an integral part of Ukraine's national sovereign territory. Putin's own signature is on that treaty, where he explicitly recognized that Crimea is Ukrainian. It's very poignant that just yesterday was a year since Ukraine held those rigged referenda in the four illegally seized regions, which Russia seized in 2022, Kherson, Lugansk, Donetsk, and Zaporizhia. Now, fortunately, they don't control all of any of them. They don't control about half of the territory of each of the four, and they do not control the regional capital of any of those four regional capital of the regions. And the fifth one, obviously, Crimea, that they illegally seized in 2014. So just the other day, Sergei Mardan, Putin propagandist, he was on television celebrating the so-called Day of Unification, which was actually about Russia's illegal seizure of these four additional Ukrainian regions. And Mardan was saying that Russia ought to rebuild its empire by conquering all the countries that it ever used to rule before, and so on, Belarus, Lithuania, Estonia, Poland, obviously any rule the eastern half of Poland, Finland, Georgia. So there's really no end to their bloodlust. There's really no end to their territorial ambitions. So everybody beware, they've got designs on the whole of the former Soviet Union, and indeed countries that were previously part of the Tsarist Empire, like Finland and Poland. No former colony of Russia has happy memories of that time. Now, all empires have got their credit and their debit columns, but I'm afraid the Russian Empire is almost overwhelmingly debit. There's actually rather little in the credit column. And okay, some of the more remote countries in Central Asia, the Caucasus, they might have brought some modern technology or whatever, science, or some advances for women's rights. But you've got to weigh that against being massively, violently oppressive, taking hundreds of thousands of people to slave labor camps from any of these places, using torture on an absolutely industrial scale, the mass murder of many, many civilians and so on, being grossly oppressive, not allowing any free expression at all, criminalizing people for asking for real autonomy and so forth, not allowing people to leave the country, not even allowing people to move around freely around their own Soviet Republic. You needed permission to go to the places, the propisk system and things like that. And that's the system that some people are nostalgic for, some of these Russian hyper-nationalists. And what is they most detest in the West? Oh, yes, imperialism. Nobody, and I mean nobody I've ever heard of, has advocated for the United Kingdom invading its erstwhile colonies, or Spain invading Latin America, or France invading its quantum colonies or whatever, or Portugal seizing its former colonies or anything like that, or the Netherlands invading Indonesia, or Belgium invading the Democratic Republic of Congo or whatever, or even Sweden or Denmark. They all had overseas colonies at various times, and I've never ever heard anybody advocate that. But that's absolutely standard fare on Russian TV. This is a staple of it. And remember, there's no freedom of expression in Russia. Even calling the war a war, that is a crime in Russia. You can get up to 15 years in prison for telling the plain truth, saying things that this is an invasion or a conflict. No. They have to call it a special military operation for saying that stating the plain fact that Crimea is Ukrainian, that is criminalized, insulting a public official, even if what you say is absolutely true. That's a crime in Russia. Causing so-called social disharmony, being an extremist is illegal. But being an extremist, I mean, it's not extreme to oppose genocide, is it? And that's what Putin's committing in Ukraine. And obviously he's adulating for the previous genocidal regime. And very tellingly, very worryingly, they erected a statue of Felix Dzerzhinsky outside the quarters of the Federalnaya Služba Bezpečnosti, the Federal Security Service. Dzerzhinsky was the founder of the Checha, the extraordinary all-Russian commission for combating counter-revolution, extortion, and espionage, as in the earliest Soviet secret police, which ran a huge-scale program of state terrorism against political dissidents and ethnic minorities from 1917 into the early 1920s. And that's the kind of person that the Putin regime idolizes. So this was torn down joyfully by Soviet citizens who were freeing themselves from a hideously oppressive regime in 1991. And it's been re-erected. Now, there are spirited debates in the United Kingdom, the United States, and elsewhere about removing the statues of people who are formerly colonial governors or who enrich themselves through enslaving other people. So I generally believe these statues should not be removed. But if one was taken down almost, over 30 years ago, I wouldn't be advocating replacing it. And Dzerzhinsky, we know he committed many, many crimes, many felonies, even according to the Soviet criminal code. But there's nothing in the debit column. It's not like he was a charitable donor or he ever did anything for the advancement of humanity. And that is the sort of person that they want to put on a pedestal, literally. That's the role model, the sort of person to be adulated. So it's all very, very troubling. And that's why his ambitions do not stop at the frontier of Ukraine. Chris Christie, the Republican governor of New Jersey, he said this, to take a warning. That's why the Poles are very worried, going to bring back conscription, massively ramping up their industrial armaments. I remember Poland was a victim of Russia on numerous occasions. And as I say, there are pros and cons to being conquered by another country. In Ireland or in Great Britain, had we been conquered by Napoleon in France, there would have been some good things as well as some bad things, even by the Kaiser's Germany. I wouldn't say that about the Third Reich. But really, Russia had nothing to offer Poland, which is very scientifically, technologically advanced, had parliamentary government, a third of men had the right to vote, whereas nobody had the right to vote in Russia. Poland was closer to democracy than Russia was, far closer, had very high literacy, was actually a rather advanced Western country when it was bludgeoned insensible by the Tsar's brute force. And they obviously, the Polish spirit for freedom never, ever died. So this has obviously got Putin's imprimatur that someone should say this. So Mardan says that they have to take back all these lands. And I'm suggesting that anybody who opposes this is a drug user or a fascist. Just the other day, President Zelensky was there at Babin Yar, just outside Kiev, commemorating the crimes of the National Socialists and mourning for the Jewish people and the non-Jewish people who were murdered there by the Third Reich in the 1940s. So it's a flagrant and stinking lie that the Kremlin constantly pumps out, falsely accusing the Ukrainian government of Nazism. I remember the editor of the Jewish Chronicle, he said, one of the few things fouler than Nazism is a false accusation of Nazism, especially when it's in furtherance of your own genocidal program abroad. You know, the United Nations, they have proven that over 10,000 Ukrainian civilians have been killed in this war, over 10,000, which even the UN admits is likely to be a serious underestimate, because they had to prove this person really existed in Ukraine, this person was killed in the war, and as a result of the war, not in a car accident or something like that, not in a fire that was unrelated to the war, and this person was a civilian at the time of his or her death. So they're obviously playing catch up with that, and many of them deliberately killed by the Russian forces, such as the Bucha massacre. Right, thank you for watching this channel. And the other question is to ask, if the United States were to withdraw support, would Europe stay in the game? The US is supplying about 55% of the weapons donations to Ukraine, and it's vital Europe prepares for the eventuality, admittedly improbable, that Trump comes back with a Republican Congress and they cut off all arms shipments to Ukraine. So that's why, you know, the Americans can say it's far away from us. It's not far away from you, Europe. You better do it. But obviously, the US is not safe because some of these Russian neo-Nazis are talking about taking back Alaska. Well, I'm not Russophobic in the least. They're Russian people I'm very, very fond of. And they suffer, too, under Putin's madcap fascist regime, which is sending them to their deaths in this totally avoidable and unnecessary war. Thank you so much for watching. Goodbye.